This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yes, hands down. And I told those other players on the other side, y'all better handle that. I don't care who's out there. You know, we play this game. We all work for it. But for someone to use a helmet as a weapon is uncalled for.
Have you ever seen anything?
No.
And with that, let me be the first to say good morning to you from 93.7 The Fan. This is the early morning show. I'm Matt Cole here with you till about 5:40 before the Fan morning show pre-show. And then what will be just a crazy, wacky, insane Fan morning show in just day here at 93.7 The Fan, I'm sure, after what just happened in Cleveland last night between the Browns and the Steelers. It's the start of a new day, brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center. You just heard Cam Hayward there to begin the show and some of his thoughts on what happened at the end of the game. First of all, the Steelers lose 21-7 to the Cleveland Browns. But hey, maybe if you're up this early at 5:04, maybe you've just jumped in the car and you didn't really check out any of your phone or any TVs or whatever before you got in the car on your way to work or to the gym or whatever, and you missed what happened at the end of this game, which I'm going to start there because I'm angry about multiple things this morning about that game last night. And the first is about this fight. So less than 10 seconds left in the game, Mason Rudolph goes back for a pass. He gets rid of the ball. Myles Garrett comes in and tackles him, brings him to the ground beyond the play, and not sure what's going on the ground between the two, but they get tangled up, and it just keeps going. Mason Rudolph grabs at his helmet. Myles Garrett grabs at Mason Rudolph's helmet and rips it straight off of his head. And by this point, David DeCastro is in the middle of them and breaking them up, trying to get in the middle of them. And once Myles Garrett rips the helmet off of Mason Rudolph's head, Rudolph, angry, goes after Myles Garrett and didn't make physical contact with him, but probably had some words for him, some choice words for him. And then Myles Garrett takes a swing at Mason Rudolph with his own helmet in his hand and knocks him on the top of his head with the helmet. And after that, things just went completely berserk as Marquise Pouncey just blacked out, basically, I'm sure, of anger, and was going after Myles Garrett, throwing punches, kicks. He'll likely be suspended. You'd have to think. I'll say this. Myles Garrett should not play in another game for the rest of the year, period. Regular season, if somehow the Browns pull off a miracle run here and get into the postseason, he should not show up on a football field the rest of the year. And if he does, shame on the NFL. Shame on Roger Goodell. Shame on whoever makes that decision to make that happen. There is no way Myles Garrett should show up on a field again for the rest of the year after what he did last night. Throwing or swinging a helmet at somebody is one of the most egregiously dangerous actions ever taken on a football field. And no, I'm not an encyclopedia of the history of football and the history of NFL, but I don't need to be to know that. That just does not happen. Ever. And when it does, it should be punished very severely. And Myles Garrett should be punished very severely. That's on a whole nother level. You can talk about things being heated and having fights and even throwing punches on the field and grabbing at guys' helmets and face masks, whatever. That's happened so many times over the years. But swinging a helmet, I mean, he could have, if he hit Mason Rudolph right, could have knocked him out right on the spot. It could have been like seeing Mason Rudolph drop against Seattle. Could have been the same thing with a helmet coming right to the top of his head like that, or if it was in a different place. Or he could have just split his head open right there. Could have been a bloody mess. There's so many different things that could have went wrong. And, I heard some of what Amy Lawrence's show was before this, and some of the callers calling in, maybe there were some Cleveland fans, so there was some bias there. They were saying that, Mason Rudolph is just as at fault here, and same with Maurkice Pouncey. Sure, Maurkice Pouncey is probably going to get suspended at least a game, I would think, if not multiple games for what he did in response to all this. And Mason Rudolph, yes, he was, he was angry and he was going after Myles Garrett, but didn't do nearly what Myles Garrett did in this situation. And so I think if you're trying to lay blame here, or you're going to with the rationale that because Mason Rudolph wasn't severely hurt that Myles Garrett should be able to play this year, it's silly. Because it could have easily gone horribly, horribly wrong. It does not excuse any of the actions from Myles Garrett. So that's the first thing that makes me angry this morning. And the second thing is that the Cleveland Browns are still not a good football team. They're just not. And the Pittsburgh Steelers had every opportunity to get back in it and just couldn't get out of their own way. And really, Mason Rudolph couldn't get out of his own way. That was still a very winnable game despite all the crap that happened, all the injuries, the multiple things that went wrong. Cleveland just, they couldn't put the game away because Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland offense did absolutely nothing beyond that first half and really beyond the first quarter. And that was it. That's all it took. And that game was still there. And nationally, it's probably going to be all about, oh, the Browns, they're back. They've saved their season. They might make a run toward the playoffs. No. They almost lost to a team with the backup quarterback, Mason Rudolph, a backup running back in Jalen Samuels because James Fragile Fred Taylor Connor went out of the game again with his shoulder flaring up. And that's a whole other discussion for maybe later on down next week of just his injury status and his future, really. As a Pittsburgh Steeler, because he can't stay on the field. Juju Smith-Schuster takes a hit in this game and goes out in the first half. And Deontay Johnson was bleeding from his ear because he took a shot so hard to his head. So he was knocked out of the game. So the Steelers are left with Jalen Samuels. They're left with James Washington and Johnny Holton and Tevin Jones. And then Vance McDonald and Nick Vanette on offense by the end of this game. And the Browns still couldn't put it away for most of it. And so I don't want to hear about Cleveland being back or that they're, going to make this run. No, the game was still there. And what makes me angry is that the Steelers couldn't get over the hump and actually tie this game or get close to winning it. And mostly that's because Mason Rudolph was flat out bad. He was bad in this game. You can make all the excuses that you want. And I just went through the players that were out of this game that got knocked out. He had limited options out there, sure. But some of the throws he made down the field, the inaccuracies, the dumb decisions, that second interception in particular, he is sitting in the pocket. There is, and the pass rush, the Cleveland pass rush was very good in this game and dominated the Steelers in the trenches. And so Mason Rudolph was facing a ton of pressure all night. But in that one in particular, the second one that he threw last night, Mason Rudolph, he's sitting in the pocket. He's trying to find a receiver over the middle. There isn't much pass rush there and still throws behind the guy. It's a completely inaccurate pass that an NFL quarterback should not be making. And there were a lot of those kinds of throws and those kinds of decisions, a couple of overthrows late in the game to pile on the interception numbers for Mason Rudolph. On the other side, I thought Baker Mayfield from the very beginning was about as aware in the pocket as I've seen him, and I've only seen limited amount of games, maybe when he's on national TV when the Steelers have played him, but from the very beginning he was had quick feet in the pocket, was moving around well, and they played well enough to get that lead at the beginning of the game and just kind of hold on to it. That's all it really was, because they didn't do much after that, and the Steelers offense just had no answers more and more as the game went on. And so those are just kind of my initial takeaways. There's a lot to wrap your head around from last night and this 21-7 loss to Cleveland. I'll try to get into some more of these things before my time ends here on the early morning show, but be sure to tune in throughout the day and certainly to the Fan Morning Show from 6 to 10 today, because it's going to be crazy. We've got a lot to talk about. Coming up next, I'll let you hear from Mason Rudolph post-game. He had some very interesting things to say about his performance, about the game overall, and of course, his scuffle with Myles Garrett and having an object be swung down on his head. And so we'll get to that, and also I'll try to whittle this thing down to three big things that I take away from Steelers-Browns, a 21-7 loss to Cleveland. That's all on the way. It's the Early Morning Show on 93.7 The Fan. It's the Early Morning Show here on 93.7 The Fan. I'm Matt Cole. The Steelers lose to the Browns 21-7 last night in Cleveland, and the game ended just about, I don't know, before midnight. It took a while last night, so you probably didn't stay up much beyond the game if you stayed up for the whole thing, and if you're up right now, and so you might have missed some post-game comments. Let's get to some of the best of those.
Time now for While Yins Was Sleeping on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
So I meant to play this in the first segment when going back through just the craziness at the end of the game with Myles Garrett and Maurkice Pouncey and Mason Rudolph, what the whole nation will be talking about today. And Maurkice Pouncey talked about the incident post-game. Here are his remarks.
Oh, at that point, yeah, it's bigger than football. It's protection.
Then almost like a weapon.
I mean, hell, you could have killed him. What if you hit him in the temple? Now, let's be serious. Now, y'all know all these questions, man. You ain't got to ask nobody about any of these questions. Y'all can write whatever report y'all want.
Yeah, Maurkice Pouncey just went crazy on Myles Garrett after he had saw that he swung at him with that helmet, just going punches, kicks, pretty much anything he could at that moment. And I'll let you hear now from Mason Rudolph. A couple of minutes on Mason Rudolph just evaluating all that happened at the end of the game and also his performance from last night, which was not very good. Here is Mason Rudolph post-game.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was pretty cowardly, kind of pretty bush league, which, you know, there's plenty of tape out there to watch. I haven't seen it replay, but yes. I really haven't seen it, anything like that yet.
How do you feel?
I'm fine. I'm good. Good to go.
Did he hit your flesh with it?
Did he what?
Did he hit your flesh with the helmet?
Go watch the replay. I don't know. I mean, I remember getting hit by a lot of people, so go take a look. You know, there's plenty of tape out there to watch. I'm not going to speak for what may have happened.
You know, sparked it at all?
Once again, I mean, I got sacked once again. I mean, it you know, he had some words and kept on keeping on, and one thing led to another. So, but you can watch the tape, go back and check it out, and make your own assumptions. So, I got to play better and give our guys a chance to win. Defense was playing great, getting the stops, and you know, had a chance to kind of tie the game there a couple times, and those things happen. Hopefully, you know, we'll get Jew and James and Deontay back to as soon as possible.
You think he should be suspended for the rest of the year?
I don't know what the rules are. I don't know, but I know it's bush league. I know he's, you know, total coward move on his part. You know, I get. I mean, it's okay though. You know, I'll take it. I'm not going to back down from any bully out there. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. We're on the Cincinnati Bengals. We're focused on them. They're our next opponent, and we know we got to, you know, win games in the division to give ourselves a chance at, you know, moving on and keep stacking wins. So we'll take it week by week.
I know you don't want to use excuses, but is there a point where you have to when you lose your top two receivers and your running back?
I think with the guys we had in there, they stepped up, made plays. We keep them in tune with the game plan a lot. Tevin, you know, stepped up, Johnny Holton. So we had shots, and we pushed the ball on the field and didn't connect sometimes. And obviously, you know, turning the ball over four times does not help. And, you know, that's on me. We had guys in the right spots. I just got to, you know, put the ball there.
Words were exchanging about being in the play. He put his hands on your face mask. You grabbed his helmet. Where did it cross the line?
I mean, once again, where did it cross the line? Maybe when he took my helmet off and used it as a weapon.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe when he did that. There's Mason Rudolph post-game talking about all that happened last night in Cleveland. And whenever I come back here, I'll try to take things into three big takeaways from last night, although it was a lot more than that that happened out there on the field. And again, continue to listen to 93.7 The Fan all throughout the day today. And, I mean, Cleveland. I know that Myles Garrett is not the sole representative of the Cleveland Browns organization, but it's so hilarious that they win a game and they can't even get off the field without acting foolishly about it and without not being able to handle it well before they even step off of the field. It's incredible. Coming up next, big three takeaways I wrap up here on the Early Morning Show. Stay with me. It's the start of a new day, brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center. I'm Matt Cole. This is the Early Morning Show, reacting to all things 21-7 loss for the Steelers to the Cleveland Browns last night on Thursday Night Football. And to put it into a canister of three big things that I take away from this game, here we go to wrap up the Early Morning Show today. The first, the Steelers' offense is in shambles. It just is at this point. And that's not even taking what the quarterback did, as I'll get to that. Looking at what's around him after this game, James Conner out of this game as his shoulder flared up. And at this point, he is completely unreliable. And I don't think that you can look at his future as a Pittsburgh Steeler and feel good about it. You just can't, because these injury issues have cropped up each year he's been in the league and going back to his college days. This is just who he is. He's not going to play all 16 games. And when he's been in there this year, I don't know how much of this is on the offensive line, and I'll get to them in a second, but he hasn't been all that effective anyway. Outside of what a 145-yard game against Miami, James Conner hasn't been the same guy we saw last year. And again, when you're not out on the field, you can't commit to a guy long-term and think that he is your future. He's not a feature back, in my opinion, because he can't stay healthy. He needs a guy that's with him in the backfield. And so he's going to be out for the, who knows, foreseeable future. I don't know if he's going to be back for next week or what that shoulder injury all entails. But if it flared up once after he had gotten extra rest, then you'd have to think that it's going to be a reoccurring theme here throughout the rest of the year. And Benny Snell, a rookie, cannot get back quick enough for the Steelers' offense. The offensive line, this was the first time that in a while, in years, that I had seen them be dominated like they were last night. That pass rush from Cleveland just got to Mason Rudolph all game long. Big Al Villanueva, I thought, was awful, really. He got bullied all game by Myles Garrett and whoever else was on him in that pass rush. And Mason Rudolph was under pressure all game long. The offensive line looked old and slow for the first time, I think. And there's some serious concerns there because, again, the Steelers couldn't run the football. They haven't been able to do it all year long, and that continued again last night. And then you get into the injury issues outside of James Conner. Juju Smith-Schuster was knocked out of this game. Deontay Johnson was bleeding from his ear and took a shot to the head. And so you can't expect him to be available right away after taking a shot like that. Who knows what his status is for the rest of the year. So where do you leave the Steelers' offense after this? I think everybody is on the table now. We heard about the different names out there. The Jay Ajayis, the Dez Bryants, whatever. I think they're all out there. They're all on the table for the Steelers to bring in at this point. You just need bodies. I don't want to go into games with a number two receiver being Johnny Holton or Tevin Jones. That's just, they're not going to win. You're not going to score very much, and you're not going to win very many football games with that going in. And so I think anybody and everybody is worth it to at least get a workout and to bring in and bring on to this team at this point, because the Steelers' offense is in shambles. And that's not even looking at number two under center. And speaking of number two, I'm not giving up on Mason Rudolph. I'm not. Four interceptions from last night. But he's got clear flaws and clear limitations. And maybe you knew that before last night, but that was reiterated big time last night. He's got slow feet in the pocket. If you compare him to what Baker Mayfield did in the pocket, I thought Mayfield put on a clinic of how to move around in the pocket to escape pressure. I thought I was really impressed by his pocket presence, Baker Mayfield, and it was the exact opposite of Mason Rudolph. Yes, there were guys in his face all night, but slow feet in that pocket and clear accuracy issues, even without pressure from Mason Rudolph. And it seems like he's just behind things right now. It's just slow in developing in his head. He's hanging on to the ball for too long. And Mike Tomlin is concerned about this offense.
You know, I'm concerned, but, you know, we didn't get it done tonight. And that's my level of concern. It doesn't carry over into the upcoming weeks and things of that nature. We'll evaluate this. We'll assess who's available to us and plot a course to move forward.
I mean, the excuses are there for Mason Rudolph, right? His offensive line was dominated. His receivers were out. Much of the same things that I outlined in the first takeaway. It was a short week. First time he had done that, at least at the NFL level. And the Browns were out to save their season. But that doesn't account for four interceptions and for throwing behind his receivers, throwing over the head of his receivers, throwing an interception deep in his own territory late in the game when he needed to lead the offense down the field. And as I mentioned earlier, Cleveland did not put this game away, despite the Steelers doing absolutely nothing offensively. They couldn't put it away. They couldn't dominate this game, and it was still there for Mason Rudolph, and he couldn't get it done. So I'm not giving up on Mason Rudolph, but clear flaws, clear limitations there, and I'm not so sure he's the guy after Ben Roethlisberger. I don't think he's even close to that right now. Number three in my big three takeaways, the first, the Steelers offense in shambles. Mason Rudolph, really bad. And then number three, in 2 weeks, it's on. When Cleveland comes to Heinz Field, this rivalry, if nothing else, from what happened at the end of the game last night, this rivalry has notched it up about 15 notches. And Cam Hayward was asked about whether all of this will carry over into the next meeting.
Just carry over in a couple weeks?
I don't know. I know we lost the game. I know we got played better. But that dumb stuff shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll carry over. That's what I'm thinking from Cam Hayward. I'll say it for Cam Hayward. On the defensive side of things, real quickly as I wrap up here on the early morning show for the Steelers, we saw what the defense looks like without getting takeaways, right? Still holding strong, though. I thought outside of the first quarter, they forced Mayfield into throwing balls that probably he didn't want to without the accuracy that he wanted to. I don't know if that's more on Mayfield or more on the defense. It was kind of a bend-don't-break approach, and you know, they kept them in the game, and so that's a little bit encouraging at least. Bud Dupree, I didn't think was great until he made a tackle late in that game. And then Mark Barron, I'm done with that guy. Done. Completely done. I don't want to see him on the field again. He was that bad last night. Just not turning around. Yes, he was there in coverage, but he never turned around when a ball came to him. And that last touchdown, the guy caught Mark Barron's head and the pass. And Mark Barron looked like he had just woken up from a nap in class and, like, freaked out and threw his arm out at the last second as if he had no idea what was going on, and then just stood there in disbelief that the guy just caught a touchdown over his head. It was unbelievable. Mark Barron, completely done with him. All right, a question of the day as I wrap up here on the early morning show. What do you think these suspensions should be for what happened at the end of the game with Myles Garrett, with Marquise Pouncey, with Mason Rudolph? In my opinion, I don't think Garrett should be playing in another football game for the rest of the year. And Marquise Pouncey, I'm sure he'll get suspended for at least a few games because he was certainly not without blame for what he did and just completely going after Myles Garrett at the end there. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, Route 19 in the South Hills. Black Friday is not just one day, it's every day in November at Sun Chevy. Today, mostly sunny and chilly and a high of 43. And then tonight, partly cloudy and cold and a low of 26. Pre-show on the way.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.